99.1. The FM News and Talk of Northern Nevada.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Sadly, I do most of my proofreading after I hit SNED. You ever misspell a word so bad that spell check can't even figure out what word you're trying to write? Of course, it's not easy here. I have to type with my right hand because of the way things are set up. I'm John Potter. I'm left-handed, too. 11:06 is our time. Craig said that we got a couple of texts about the topic we introduced at 9 o'clock this morning, and that is, what is missing? I mean, we have it all, right? We love our cities. We love where we live, the towns and all in Northern Nevada. But what would you like to see here that we don't presently have? The usual Sacramento places come up, but Craig says somebody texted about Marie Callender's. They want Marie Callender's to come back. Remember the salad bar? Remember the traditional hanging around the parking lot at Thanksgiving time to wait for the pumpkin pie, for the doors to open for the reserved pumpkin pie? I always bring up, Flaky Jake's. I always go through the long description of the big burger toppings bar and the buckets of beer. How could a place like that fail? It was out at Prater and McCarran in Sparks. And I miss TGI Fridays. I miss Sambo's. Used to be on Virginia and Plum. The Big Boy Restaurant used to be at Plum by Virginia.
Jeremiah's
Plum and Kitsky was a hot disco club back in the day. And then it became a steakhouse, and then it became what? A Chinese buffet, and now it is the Gone. Redwood.
Yeah.
No, it's the Redwood.
No. What's Redwood was the other thing that was on that corner.
Really?
Yeah, Redwood. Yeah, Jeremiah's is totally gone. Redwood was the Caro's that was there.
Oh, yes, Caro's. How could I forget? You're right. Oh, but the place where Disco John danced is gone? Very sad. Should be a plaque there. I also miss, Chevy's. Used to be at what is now Grand Sierra Resort. Shakey's. Remember Shakey's from way back? Now Boulevard Pizza, pretty much in the same place. The Glory Hole. The Verdi Inn. Oh, my gosh, so many things. And besides restaurants, what do you miss that you wish would come back? My list would include Shopko, Grand Central, Arden's, Gemco, Montgomery Ward's, an Audi, the Hilton Amphitheater. I miss when you could walk right onto the runway to meet passengers and park your car alongside the runway. You know what we used to do at night? We used to, pick up trucks and such. You could drive right up to the airport runway at the Reno Airport, and just like your front bumper, pretty much where the runway is. And pickup trucks, you'd see a lot of them because people would back up to the runway. No gates, no fences, no nothing. And you could wave at the pilot, the plane coming down right in front of you. What else? I miss $8 slide and Mount Rose lift tickets, pizza oven, Kaya's Squeeze Inn, Taco John's, Arctic Circle. Remember Arctic Circle on, I think it was Wells? Shakey's, of course, Flaky Jake's. Yeah, I mentioned that.
Remember the A&W on South Virginia?
Recently lost that, didn't we?
Well, that one we lost a while back. That's been either an Indian or a Chinese food place for decades now. But yeah, that was the actual A&W drive up, park there. They skated out to you, took your order.
Yeah.
Now you get the same experience with Sonic. It's just not the same as it was back then, though.
Half a moment ago, it seemed like it closed. I don't know. Time is just going by when you're old. The Nugget, Little Nuggets, awful. How do we miss that? There you go. The Nevada Club's Killer Burger. Remember Nevada Club? Harold Club's Nevada Annie's with their Steak Diane and Bananas Foster. Remember that stuff that people don't eat anymore? Bananas Foster.
Yeah, let's find the net in 30 years. We're going to be saying, where's all the food that had taste?
Long's Drugstore.
Woolworths.
Let me think now. I think, yeah, they left Reno. I think they're still alive somewhere. Froggy's Lunchbox, Park Lane Mall. Two Guys from Italy. Wine Stocks. The Mark Twain Motel. Chicken and Ribs at the Riverboat. The Spare Rib Buffet at the Gold Dust Downtown. You can stop me anytime. I got so many memories.
I'm salivating here. You've got me to where am I going for lunch? What's the closest place I can go for lunch after we get off the air?
The Century Cinedome on South Virginia.
Started out as one theater, one giant theater, then was cut in half, made it two theaters. Then they added six more, so it was eight. Then all of a sudden we got to Century 14 and had 14 theaters under five different domes.
And add the Granada and the UA Cinema, twin theaters downtown. Yeah.
I worked at the UA Granada for Lou Bergstrom. Yeah, that was one of my first teenage jobs.
I go way back to before they split it in two. It was a big majestic theater, and then they had to ruin it by putting that
it wasn't down the middle. It was lateral, so you had an upstairs basically theater and a downstairs theater.
Gosh, we sound old.
We are old.
You better take those calls. I'll just keep going.
Yeah, I'm only 7 years younger than you, John.
It's coming for you. King Swede's Buffet, folks. Smorgies. The Wigwam. Woolworths. Yeah, Gray Reed's. Wine Stocks. Sears. Stuart Anderson's Black Angus Restaurant, Bar, and Dance Floor. Let me think now. The highway mileage signs that told you how close you, how many miles away you are from Harold's Club in Reno. The Elegant Wagon Nightclub. The Stage Door. The CBS Dance Hall. Boy, for a college guy, that was the place. Let me think. Bahama Mamas. Used to dance there. KCBN Radio, where I used to work. 49 cent breakfast after midnight at the Cal Neva.
And then that beautiful breakfast at the Copper Ledge at Cal Neva.
Yeah. Jesse Beck's Riverside. Skaggs Drugstores. Was that the one with the 10 cent ice cream? I think it was Skaggs, or was it... Plum in Virginia in that strip mall.
Yeah. That is Skaggs.
Yeah. Shopko, Liberty Bell Restaurant.
Oh, Liberty Bell. I loved that. It was six blocks away from my mom's house, so I'd sneak off whenever I could. It was a little pricey for a 17-year-old, but I'd still love it.
Ponderosa Ranch outside the theme park. They made Ponderosa Ranch. Hidden Beach. Hidden Beach is still there. Let me think now. Value Mart grocery store. And let me think. There was a place with a teen night on North Sierra Street, a club. Can't remember the name. I saw the Grassroots there, though. No, I'm not 100 years old.
Prove it.
Sounds it, doesn't it? I went out a lot because, oh my gosh, to me, this was just an amazing place. Sprout Spritz. Grant's, Ito's Burritos, Hofbrau, Lake Mill Lodge Coffee Shop, best burger in the world back then, Matterhorn Bakery, Keystone Owl Drugstore, the Big Hat Restaurant. We have the Iron Sword at the Ponderosa, Tony's Deli, Menards. We called Montgomery Ward.
Unique Delicatessen.
Unique, yes.
That was right next to the radio stations on East Moana.
We used to call Montgomery Ward's Monkey Ward's.
Yep.
You too?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I can go on forever. FM News, we're taking calls 775 775- 844-9910 and bring back your memories, or what can Reno use right now, or what left Reno that you'd like to bring back. Let's go to Sparks. Marty. Marty is on the phone at 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3. Hey, Marty, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. Remember the grocery store on Virginia Street? I don't remember the name of it, though.
Oh, that's, yes.
It was Mayfair Market. It's where the Eldorado
Mayfair
is right now.
Yeah.
And Circus was where Gray Reed's was.
Yeah. Yeah, now I remember Mayfair. Yeah, what I called about, John, was, first of all, I want to wish you a happy birthday.
Thank you.
And, yeah, and, you know, I'm a kind of a new gold prospector, and I was down visiting an old Navy veteran of mine in near Henderson, and he took me out to this place where, oh, there was a couple of other gold miners that we, while we were out there camping, that drove by and we talked to them. And one of them was down this dirt road from us. And when he parked his pickup, he raised the hood. And I looked at my buddy, Richard, and I said, "You think maybe his truck broke down or something?" "Oh, no, Marty." He goes, "You know what it is? Out here in the desert, we have all these field mice and squirrels. You know, sometimes squirrels." But he goes, "If your engine is warm and it's toward nightfall, they'll crawl up in your engine compartment. And like what you guys were saying about the wiring tastes good, so they just eat it. And that's why people left their hood up."
I brought that up at 9 o'clock, Marty, and I got to be honest, I never heard of this problem before. But the auto mechanic guy I know says, the $6,000 in damage it can cause. Make you write off your whole car.
Well, that's what Richard told me. Yeah, that there's people that didn't know about it. And sure enough, because there's so many of them.
Well, I guess it especially now, I guess the reason why it's pretty obvious now is because we had such a wet winter and wet spring. And I guess that brings the mice out. I don't know. But it's something to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate the call, Marty.
Okay. Thanks, John.
All right, sir. Have a good day. Mr. Mayfair Market there. Yeah.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Folks, Mayfair Market is where all the teens who did the cruising on Virginia Street, and I'd always forget that they did it on Friday and Saturday nights, and I'd always get caught in it. Yep. Crawling along at 10 miles per hour. They would all meet at Mayfair Market.
In the parking lot. Nice big parking lot right out front.
And Mayfair Market didn't do anything about it, but there was one angry Reno policeman, I forget his name, who just drove him crazy. He never did stop the cruising. You couldn't get anywhere on Virginia Street back then. And plus, we had the train, too.
Yeah, there was no trench. It was you had to wait for the train.
You know what? And it's weird to complain about it now. And I did back in the 70s. I complained about it. And now it doesn't sound like it was a big deal at all. Anyway, I'd love to go back. All right, we're going to take a break. Going too long. 775-884-9910. We're taking your calls. I'm John Potter. FM News Talk time is 11:19.
All the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
Hello, I'm John Potter. Phone number 775-884-9910. It's apparently turned into nostalgia half hour. Craig has an update on Mayfair Market. Craig.
Yeah, well, we had a longtime resident, so long that he was actually born here, Mayfair Market, before it was Mayfair Market, was Sewell's.
What?
Yes, S-E-W-E-L-L-S, Sewell's Market. And they actually had one here in Reno, and then one, I believe he said it was Elko or somewhere to the east of us on what then would have been Highway 40, because 80 didn't exist.
We had more than one Mayfair market, and I think maybe Warehouse Market put it out of business.
Yeah, Mayfair, we had the other one that was down at Shopper's Square, which turned later into either a Long's Drug or something like that, and then became CVS as it was before they tore it down and rebuilt the building. But
weren't the best nachos at Noggle's?
Oh. John, this is not fair.
I know. They were so good. Okay, casinos, what, Eddie's 50s Casino. The Sahara, I used to work at the Sahara.
Del Webb Sahara Reno, yes.
Oh, speaking of the Dells, Del Mar Station.
Yep.
Tiny's Restaurant, Gothy Shoes, Learners.
Lloyd Gotchi Shoes, yep.
The Lance, the Christmas Tree.
Oh, yeah.
The Tower Theater and the bowling alley next to it.
We had, let's see, I remember the Crest Theater on 2nd Street.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, that's where, what is on that corner block right now? Part of the old Harrah's where they put Itchy Bonds upstairs.
Yes. I know. It was near, I remember Rogers Jewelry and the Monthly Earring Club. The ladies would go every month to get a pair of earrings at Rogers Jewelry. How can places like that go out of business? I don't understand. All right, I'm just thinking nachos right now.
I know. Thanks. Yeah, you got Noggle's in my brain now. We have a couple of callers, Mr. Potter.
Oh, do we? Okay, let me take a look at the screen here. Oh, my gosh. Let's go to John. John calling in Reno. Hey, John, welcome to the show. Appreciate you calling in.
Hey, happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, I miss the lounge shows. The Gold Dust West used to have a showroom, and they had B.B. King and Wayne Cochran, the Blue-Eyed King of Soul.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss Harry's Lounge Act, 2-drink minimum. We used to go see Jay Leno when I was in college. Also, I'll keep it short.
Yeah.
I don't miss it, but I bet you there's a lot who will and won't believe my story, but it's true. I am a graduate of Nevada, Reno, class of 77 with 2 bachelor's degrees. I made $5 an hour. It was $12 a credit. The bookstore actually bought your books back when you took them back, and the books weren't $400 a piece. What happened?
What happened? Yeah.
Okay, do it to them before they do it to you. Dig you later.
What happened? We went to bed one night and woke up, and here it is. Thanks for calling, John. Appreciate that. You just sent me back to those showrooms, and the deal back then, folks, was each show ticket or reservation came with 2 drinks, was included, and you'd have cocktail waitresses come to your table. But the best part of these shows, what, they were $15 tickets or something like that to see somebody like Bill Cosby or Sammy Davis Jr.
Exactly. Harrah's was famous for both of those coming in all the time.
But the best part, Craig, was if you slipped the maitre d' a 5 or a 10, you would get the seat you wanted. If you wanted to sit the front row, $10 bill to the maitre d', you were there, Frank Sinatra, just a couple of feet away from you, and now we have to deal with this god-awful Ticketmaster stuff.
Oh, wait. There's something I think we totally missed.
What?
MGM. Hello, Hollywood. Hello.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That my roommate worked. He was a server, and he would, on average, make between $600 and $1,000 a night in tips.
Ye gods.
Yeah, that was a server's paradise. 2 shows a night, 7 days a week. Yeah.
I remember these casinos, every open door. By the way, that there'd be air curtains. They didn't have doors. Even during the winter, it was an air curtain. You would hear music, live music, coming out of every single door as you walked down Virginia.
Fitzgerald's. You'd have the greeter standing at the door handing you coupons to entice you to come in.
Ah, yes, yes. A free roll of nickels.
Yes.
Let's go to the phones. Calling from Reno. It's goes by the name Mr. History. Mr. History, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, and can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I am the son of Lloyd Gotchi Shoe.
Is this you, Lance?
Yeah.
Hey, Lance.
Hey, and so the deal is, you're mentioning stuff, I'll mention two things. I would get off work and walk across, walk into the door of Harris, which was a new club, and there would be a fat kid with in a white shirt playing above the bar stage, that little corner bar there off Virginia Street, and his brother would be playing the drum, Wayne Newton.
Oh, yeah, really? Oh,
and God. Then, number two, I want to mention, you were talking about the turnaround dragging Maine, which I was the king of dragging Maine in the 50s.
The king!
And so, before all of that, let's say I'm 8 years old and it's about 1948, and my mom made me go to church, and the location of the church is right where the circus sign is.
Wow. Yes.
But, yeah, that was a red rectangular brick building, very good looking, with the pretty colored windows lined along Fifth Street. So tell you that piece of history. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Mr. History. I appreciate that. Days gone by. And I think the end of downtown came when they fired all those musicians.
He was talking about the buildings down there. Reno Little Theater was on the corner of 7th and Sierra, which is right across the street from where that gas station is. It's right now what the northwest corner of the parking garage. The city of Reno claimed it as eminent domain for Circus. As well as the Breakaway, which was there on the corner of
the 6th
and Sierra.
The Little Theater on Sierra. Yep. I'll never forget.
Little Theater,
a couple
RLT.
Of plays there. It was nice and cozy and small.
I was the technical director there for a few years. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Good to know you.
It was a blast theater. So.
Phone number is 775-884-9910. I'm John Potter. Craig's in Carson City. FM News Talk Time. We'll be back. FM News Talk Time is 11:31.
Live, local, FM Talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
Well, I guess it was only proper that we talk about old Reno and nostalgia on my 69th birthday. It does fit in a way, but I can't wait to read those emails that say, oh, you live in the past. It's a new Reno, Potter. Well, excuse me, but we have our wonderful memories. And anyway, we closed off the phone lines for now because it's too much for the young people to take going back too far in time. But that was a fun old person break. So thank you, Craig. Interesting Fox News report there. Is it just me that every newscast I hear just ticks me off? And even Fox, we live in a day and age, and I don't think it's a coincidence, but there are so many forces all around us who want us to lose confidence in the structures of our society and the institutions of our society all around us. And I think it's purposeful. I think maybe the devil over there and maybe the Chinese and the Russians over here and a large political philosophy of global progressivism that hates the American spirit. I think there's a purposeful effort to make Americans doubt America. I think it's all around us. It's an attack upon our culture, an attack upon our history and our faith and our heritage, all around us. Everything, do you feel you're under siege? Everything that is America, mocked and attacked and torn down, and the purpose of that is to leave you and I drifting without a foundation, without faith in ourselves and our neighbors and our country, and the purpose there is to weaken us, leading to all sorts of calamities. I don't watch the news anymore. Kathy watches it for me and tells me what's going on in the world. But even Fox News ticks me off lately because I guess it's just the 69-year-old man here who just can't adjust to a lot of what is going on and the people who are forcing a culture change from our favored, nostalgic, proper, golden rule ways that we lived by in that moral code. Okay, there I go off again. We're going to take a break. We have a special interview coming up next on 99.1 FM Talk in Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM News Talk. Time is 11:39.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk, radio, 99.1 KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
Hello, friends. John Potter here. Each and every Saturday morning, 9 to noon, live and local. We call it the weekend. I'll be here next Saturday morning. A couple of our FM News Talk winning listeners will be getting the VI treatment, meeting Jamie Lissow tonight at the Carson Nugget. We gave away that special prize away yesterday. He sold out two shows like that. He's a regular on Greg Gutfeld's show on Fox, and Jerry Evans talked to him yesterday. Jerry?
Jamie Lissow is with us, and we're on Weekend Nevada, 99.1 FM Talk and 92.3 FM Talk. So, first of all, good to meet you and good to have you in Nevada.
You as well.
You know, Jimmy Fallon has been here about a half a dozen times, and he always sells out. Now would be the time, if you want to say something good or bad about Jimmy Fallon, now would be the time.
Okay, maybe I'll do both. he's a great guy, and he introduced me to Dean over at the casino and said, you got to check out this place. It's a beautiful room and you're going to sell out. And at first I told him, I was like, man, I don't know, hell, he's a monster. You know, he's got a lot going on. And so at first I said to Dean, I go, why don't we just misspell my last name, Fela, to sell all the tickets. And then when I get there, I'll surprise people. But we sold it out, pretty quickly. And, I love that dude. And, I don't know if you've seen him on Fox News, but he has if I had one, one insult, I would say he looks like he buys all of his clothes at like a thrift store in Beverly Hills. The fancy jackets, but like an expensive, you know?
Yeah.
But he has his own style, and I'm totally joking. I really love that dude.
I think he goes looking for a fight with his wardrobe. As you can tell from go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes the colors and patterns fight each other.
As you can tell, the people in Carson City and in Nevada, they like a good laugh. Your show sold out very quickly. We got a special meet and greet that one of our listeners or a couple of our listeners are going to be going to and seeing you tonight at 5 o'clock at the Carson Nugget. I read your bio, and there's a whole lot of stuff there I never realized you were ever involved in and have done. Real Rob, something to do with Rob Schneider, I assume, and Daddy-Daughter Trip. Tell us about some of the stuff that people probably aren't aware that you are even involved in.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up. It's almost like I have two lives, because I started with the stuff you just kind of mentioned, and then Gutfeld has always been in the background, but recently has been absolutely in the foreground. But so Real Rob is a show on Netflix. It's not a reality show. It's a sitcom. It's with Rob Schneider, and it's like an exaggerated version of his life. And I've been working with Rob Schneider for years. One of my absolute best friends. And one day he says, let's write a TV show. We write this TV show. And I go, you know, you pitch shows to networks. And I go, where are we going to pitch it? And he goes, we're going to just make it ourselves. Film it. I'm going to finance it. I'm going to direct it. And I was like, wow. So we shoot this entire season of this show. And by the way, I'm just a writer at the time on the show. Like, I created it with him and I wrote it. We end up selling it to Netflix as sort of like an acquisition, which is like different than a Netflix original. It's sort of like them going, yeah, we'll buy your show, you know? Mm-hmm. And in the 11th hour, is that some people say, the 11th hour? At the last minute, we lost one of our actors, and Rob was like, we need to find someone to play my assistant. This is like a main character on a Netflix sitcom. We got to find someone. And he goes, who can play my assistant? And as he's saying it, I just happen to be serving him and his wife tea. No kidding. I'm bringing them tea. And he looks up at me and he says, why don't you read for, he's like, you act, right? And I'm like, yeah, maybe. You know, I lie to my wife and she doesn't figure out what I'm saying. And he goes, why don't you read for this part? And I read for the part and he goes, you got the job. And I get a gigantic role in every episode of a Netflix sitcom in like 5 minutes because he sat me down and auditioned me. And then that show that ended up featuring Adam Sandler did an episode, David Spade did an episode, George Lopez. It was one of the last things Norm Macdonald did. We got picked up by Netflix as a Netflix original which I don't even know if that's ever happened before, where someone sells a show and then it becomes an original. And we got season two as an original, and it was a whirlwind, and it was like the best job I ever had.
Jamie Lissau is talking about Real Bob. Pretty good for you. You stumbled into being one of the main characters in the role. And then also the movie Daddy-Daughter Trip. What about that?
Yeah, so, Jerry, I stumble into everything. There's not one thing I have done that has been planned ahead. And with this Daddy-Daughter Trip, I had a big touring schedule. I was in a tour with Schneider. I was doing my own dates. And then pandemic. And mm-hmm. I lose all of my dates. Rob loses all of his dates, and we go, what are we going to do? This is how we make our living. And he goes, let's write a movie. And so we end up just sitting down. We had this idea of brewing for a while, and we just, like, write this movie, and we call Adam Sandler's wife, Jackie Sandler, is an amazing actress, an absolute sweetheart. We call her and go, would you want to be in this, you know, would you want to do this? She's like, yeah, absolutely. So we end up getting Jackie Sandler to star opposite Rob. We write this movie, and then pretty quickly we get it financed, which is also stumbling, like totally unusual. Financed in like a weird way. It's like this guy that owns, I don't know if I'm supposed to say, but he owns like a bunch of fast, really high quality fast food restaurants around the country. He loves it. He finances it. And again, I'm just a writer. At the very last minute, we get John Cleese on board, who is my number one favorite. Like, my dad loved him. I loved him. It was like the first thing me and my dad agreed on comedy-wise was Monty Python. And we got John Cleese on board, and we're
okay.
at dinner.
Well, let me interrupt for one second. I have to tell you my John Cleese story, which I don't know if you can give credit to him for this, but he spoke these words in the movie Clockwise years and years and years ago. And I still use the line today, which is, I can stand the despair, it's the hope that's killing me. And I still use that line to this day. He said that line goodness. In the movie Clockwise. So anyway, not to get you off track, back to the story, but
no,
I credit John Cleese for that
I
line.
Like that.
Yeah.
That's deep, man. I like that.
Yeah. Use it.
No, please. That's a great story.
I can stand the despair. It's the hope that's killing me.
Man, I'll hit the audience with that when they don't laugh at something. So I get dinner. I'm at dinner with John Cleese. I'm so nervous. He's my hero. And as we're sitting there, I just go, this is a wonderful man. Like, it was, if you could pick, you know, they say, like, don't meet your heroes. I've never had that experience. Every hero I've met has been above and beyond what I've expected, including Rob Schneider, Adam Sandler, everybody. John Cleese, dinner's amazing. And the next day, Rob goes, I'm a writer on the movie. And Rob goes, hey, you should do, like, a part in the movie. I go, oh. He goes, why don't you look through the movie and see if there's a part you want to do? And so, Jerry, of course, I look through the movie and I give myself the scenes with John Cleese. Why would I not do that? And because I want to meet him. And I end up doing these scenes with John Cleese, and we hit it off. Our comedy timing was like, he turned to me at one point after a cut, and he said, we have the same sense of humor. He goes, I can tell. And I was like, this is great. This is bananas. John Cleese just told me we have the same type of humor, and we became really good friends. And I ended up going to his house and hanging out for a few hours, just me and him. And he told Monty Python stories. We connect on the phone now and then. And it was just one of those, like, super cool, you know, crazy things that I never expected. I stumbled into another cool thing.
Yeah. And then stumble into one more. And that's talk about The Animal 2 for Fox Tubi.
Oh yeah, man. That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, so we just finished writing the sequel to the, you know, one of the great Rob Schneider movies. Like, it was Deuce Bigelow, and then it was The Animal. And some people were clamoring for a sequel, and there was a big fan over at Fox Tubi, and we quickly made a deal. We wrote that movie. I actually wrote that one with Rob Schneider's wife, Patricia. She's a writer, and she actually wrote Real Rob with me on Netflix. And so we finish that script, and I think we film in 3 months. And Jerry, I'm a writer on that, but you know I'm going to stumble into some sort of role the morning of shooting.
Well,
give myself something.
I wish you luck with your stumbling and your falling. And Jamie Lissau, a regular on Gutfeld. In fact, I saw you Thursday night on Gutfeld. So we talked about your career. How about the personal stuff? Where'd you grow up, and how'd you wind up being a comedian/writer or writer comedian.
Yeah, dude, I'll hit you with some real personal stuff, honestly, that's going on. So I went to, like, I always wanted to be a comedian since I was a little kid. I didn't even know it was a job. And then you just go through the motions of life, and you follow the stories and the narratives that people tell you. At least I did. I went to college. I was a math major. I went into law school, and I started doing stand-up comedy a little tiny bit. And a week into law school, I was like, man, if I do this, I'm going to owe hundreds of thousands of dollars and have no choice as to what I'm going to have to pay the money back, you know? And so I remember I just gotten paid like $50 to do comedy. And I was just like looking at the money, like, this is amazing. And I drove home the 2 hours from college to my house, and my dad was on the couch reading the paper. And I just go, I gotta say something. And he goes, what? And I go, I don't know. I don't know if I can go to law school. Like, I want to be a comedian. And I just lay it all out for him. And he turns to me and he goes, let's go get your stuff from law school.
Huh.
Why don't you try this comedy thing for a couple of years? And I was like, oh my God. And we grabbed my stuff and we brought it home. And I've been a comedian for 27 years now.
Ah, 25 years. Like, cool.
From that moment. And then, you know, kind of fast forward, like, I feel like I've given you the, like, self-selected highlight reel. Like, all this awesome stuff happens to me and wow, I'm so lucky. But I got married, was married for a long time, and then had like a super tough divorce, and like went through some tough stuff, and kind of got my three kids that I love. We kind of got moved to Alaska, and so I've been facing myself out of Alaska after like a pretty, you know, like rattling divorce situation. And it was one of those things where I didn't know what the heck I was going to do. I was kind of feeling like I might quit stand up and just live near my kids, or I don't know what I was going to do, because you got to pay, it's like $2,000 to fly from Alaska. Like, it creates a whole new struggle to try to just be a comedian. And then enter Gutfeld. And not only did Gutfeld make it so I could sell out shows, like get the Carson Nugget, if the character I play on Gutfeld, if I wasn't a divorce loser for a while, I would have no character on Gutfeld. It ended up becoming like the, you know, like Marcus Aurelius, like the impediment to the way is the way, like the obstacle is the way. It ended up becoming like this therapeutic way to sort of like get it out and talk about it and embrace it and connect with other divorced guys going through stuff. And I would not change any of it, you know, even the hard parts.
Hey, well, I'll tell you something. The first time that Jimmy came out in Carson City, the day I picked him up at the hotel was the day that my divorce was final. So I'm right there with you on that thing. What I find kind of weird, though, I kind of picture you being a New Yorker type guy because you got to be back there, but three kids wind up in Alaska, which is kind of like the outdoors, the last frontier type thing. So how did that turn about? Did you say all three of your kids moved to Alaska?
Yeah, it's not a great story. Like, basically, I had like an ex, like a wife who was from Alaska and wanted to move the kids back there. And we were married at the time. And I said, yeah, let's do it. And then we got divorced like 20 minutes after we got there. And the kids are up there. You know, the kids are just up there now and we weren't together. And I just had to figure out like what, like, how can I do comedy and go see my kids enough? And it was really, really tough before Gutfeld. Because Gutfeld just allowed me this freedom to sell out a couple shows on one night instead of just traveling all the time. And so, yeah, they're up there right now, and I sort of live in a hotel in New York, and I live in Alaska. I have a house in Alaska where my kids, you know, they have their rooms and they keep their stuff in there. And I fly there at least twice a month. I do Alaska to New York.
Oh, cool. Cool.
It all works out.
Oh, good. Glad to hear it. I got a title for your book when you write it, Stumbling to Success. Jamie Lissau.
Oh my God, Jerry.
Hey,
come on, I'm in.
Come on, that and the despair hope line, it's all yours.
I love it. And I used to drink a lot, and now I don't drink anymore. Maybe I could call it From Stumbling Drunk to Stumbling into Success.
There you go. Work on that. Jamie Lissau, two sold-out shows this evening in Carson City, Nevada. Great to have you here, and hopefully it becomes kind of like a routine. Jimmy's out here about twice a year. And then when you have more time, we'll get you up to Virginia City. Do hope you can come out, take in some of the Lake Tahoe scenery just over the mountain from Carson City. And I hope you enjoy yourself in Carson City at the Nugget tonight. Jamie Lissau, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, Jerry. Thanks so much for your time. And I'm absolutely looking forward to it. And I will absolutely be back for anyone that couldn't get tickets this time.
Yeah.
Well, good chatting with you, man. Great,
you too.
You got a great radio voice, and you're a great interviewer. I'm sure.
Oh, thank you. Look forward to meeting you down the road.
Okay, sounds good. We'll do it.
Oh, super cool. Thanks, Jerry. And by the way, congratulations to all the folks who won tickets to see Jamie's show. And we gave those away yesterday, and we got a lot of tickets at this radio station. Often we have some on Saturday morning, so maybe next Saturday morning I will be honored to give away some tickets to you. Usually some of the great shows at the Carson Nugget. So that wraps up another fun live and local the weekend Saturday show. It's each and every Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon. I'm John Potter. I usually leave you with some good words. And today I'll say, this comes from someone familiar. A lie can travel halfway across the world, while the truth is putting on its shoes. I'm sure there are a lot of smart people around these parts who understand that. But that was Mark Twain, who also said, did it happen? I don't know. But nothing spoils a good story like the arrival of an eyewitness. Okay, have yourself a great weekend. So much to do. Enjoy the rodeo and everything else going around in our wonderful area. This is 99.1 FM Talk and Smith & Mason Valley, 92.3. See you next Saturday. FM News Talk time is 11:58.